Welcome to Biscuits and Jam from Southern Living. I'm your host, Sid Evans, and today I'm talking with three sisters who started sharing their music on Instagram just a couple of years ago, and now they seem to be everywhere. Eleanor, Lily, and Powell Balcom are better known as the Castellos, and their newfound success has led them to a fast-moving career in Nashville and the recent release of a new EP called A Little Goes a Long Way. With beautiful harmonies and lyrics about a simpler way of life, many of the songs pay tribute to the sisters' roots in rural Georgia, where they grew up spending weekends on the lake and singing hymns at a small country church. We'll talk about how their music career is helping to carry on a family name, their love of Georgia football, and their grandmother's cooking on this week's Biscuits and Jam. Well, Eleanor, Lily, and Powell, welcome to Biscuits and Jam.
Thank you for having us.
Happy to be here.
All right. So listen, just to get the voices straight, I want to start with a question. Eleanor, I'll start with you. If you could walk into any restaurant in the world right now, where would you go and what would you order?
Oh, gosh, that's really hard. Honestly, there's this sushi place that Powell and I go to probably once a week in Nashville since we've moved. It's called Peter's, and it's more so my comfort food. And Lily goes a lot with us, too. But I just go in there and get some sushi. It's like mid-grade sushi, but it hits the spot for some reason.
Perfect. All right, Lily, what about you?
Since I'm so hungry, I think I'd drive like half a mile down the road and go to Cracker Barrel and get a big old pancake and some bacon.
Maybe right after this is done.
Maybe right after.
And Powell, what about you?
That is a good question. I think, I don't know, probably Waffle House right now. I'm a big breakfast person, so.
They're really deep answers.
Yeah, we're doing an early morning session. Well, everybody's hungry. Well, this is great. So y'all grew up in Georgetown, Georgia, right?
Yes, sir.
So that's a lake town, basically. It's right on the Alabama-Georgia line. Did y'all spend a lot of time on the water growing up?
That's about the only thing you can do in Georgetown is go on the water. And so, yeah, we have a little boat that our family kind of shares. And so we grew up water skiing and stuff. It was a lot of fun.
I know our mom was a big skier growing up. And so all of our brothers loved a tube. And she was like, we're not getting a tube till every one of y'all learns how to water ski and slalom ski. So we were all made to learn.
So is that every weekend was pretty much when it was warm, people were out on the lake?
When the weather was good, everyone was out on the lake. If you had a boat, and if not, you knew somebody with a boat.
Yeah.
Apparently the alligator population has gone up.
Oh, really?
On Lake Eufaula, so.
That makes it a little dicey.
Yeah, it's a little dicey now, I think.
They're good swimming buddies. They leave us alone.
That's right.
Well, and I doubt they can catch up with a water skier. So tell me a little bit about your hometown. So many of your videos that y'all have shot are scenes from the country. I mean, you're out in a field somewhere, you're walking down a dirt road. Is that a good representation of where you grew up?
It absolutely is. That's our family's land, our family farm. Our county's like 2,000 people, very close-knit. And to us, it's heaven on earth. I mean, we grew up so blessed and fortunate to be able to run around and be out in the woods and get dirty and stuff. And so that's home to all of us. And if you ask all three of us where we want to live when we grow up, we say back in Georgetown.
Well, so tell me what it looks like when you're pulling into the driveway or the road that kind of leads into y'all's farm where y'all grew up. What does it look like?
Lots of potholes.
Yeah, lots of potholes. The city doesn't keep it up too well, but pulling the driveway, little white house, couple fields, bunch of woods. Family all around.
We got some barns in the back. My mom and my grandmother always make fun of the men in our family because they're like, y'all love to build an ugly metal shed right behind the house. So our house has a shed or this metal like shop in the back.
So tell me a little bit about your family. I mean, what did your mom and dad do for a living or what do they do?
So our daddy's a judge. He went to Georgia Tech and got a degree to be an engineer, but he's a judge and a farmer. And a father now. And our mom is an ER nurse, and she homeschooled us, so she's a homeschool mom and a nurse.
You had a pretty big family. Who was doing all the cooking?
All of us.
All of y'all?
We were all doing it.
Really?
Our mom cooked a good bit. She always talks about how she doesn't think she's a great cook, but she is a good cook, and she did cook a lot growing up.
So what were some of your mom's specialties? What's she known for?
Well, every good homeschool mom knows how to make a loaf of bread. She has like her own millet and spelt, and she'll grind her own wheat and make muffins and bread. She can bake. She can do that. She can make a good piece of toast and a fried egg and a good thing of cheese grits. Again, breakfast. Are we thinking about breakfast?
I'm thinking about breakfast.
Wow. Y'all really were spoiled growing up on homemade bread. That sounds pretty good.
It sure is. Yeah.
So what about grandparents and other family? Did y'all have a lot of family around Georgetown, or were they further away?
All of our family pretty much lives in Georgetown on my dad's side. My dad's one of five, and four out of the five of those kids live within a mile of each other on family land in Georgetown. And then my mom's side of the family is from right across the bridge in Eufaula, Alabama. So they're 10, 15 minutes away. So all of our extended family basically grew up in a 15-minute radius, which is such a blessing because so many people just don't live near their family. And all of ours was right there with us.
That's so true. It's very unique. And yes, very lucky to have all those folks so close by. When you think about who was kind of the rock star cook in the family, including grandparents, aunts, uncles, whoever, who comes to mind?
Our grandmother.
What's her name?
Her name's Cynthia. We call her Cinny.
She's taught us how to make all sorts of things. She's one of those Southern women who has a recipe for everything. She has her pound cake. She has her pecan pies. She has her dressing. And it's like, okay, I don't know how to cook this. Cinny, please send this to me. But she can tear it up. She taught me how to make a chocolate pound cake that it takes like 6 hours to make.
It's a labor of love.
Yeah, we made it for Daddy's birthday. And if we don't help her make it, she'll make it for Daddy's birthday every year. And it's my favorite cake.
Now, do you have all these recipes written down?
She has them in a big box. They're in my phone somewhere. Oh, yeah. It's like chicken scratch. I'm like, you need to retype this and send this to us.
Yeah, you need to make sure you got all this.
No doubt.
Well, so you were talking about being homeschooled growing up, which means you weren't going into a formal school with teachers and a chalkboard every day. What did an average day look like when you were in, say, I don't know, fifth or sixth grade?
I mean, there's a lot of different flavors of homeschooling. So we did a co-op that we went to once a week and then had a group of friends through our co-op. But it kind of just depended on the day. The nice thing about homeschooling is as long as you're motivated to get your work done, like you can get your work done and either at 12 or at 3. And we would do school and then ride horses and just hang out on the farm. That's kind of what enabled us to really play music too, is being homeschooled and just having that access to time and also land with our farm. So it kind of just depended. And then as we got older, we started dual enrolling pretty early on. So we kind of had more structure with that. Like we would do college classes in high school a lot too.
And yeah, y'all finished college pretty early, right?
Cal and I both finished college. Lily never went because she's technically supposed to be a freshman and all this music stuff started happening.
Okay, gotcha.
I would have never gone anyway.
So the homeschooling, you think, really did sort of enable a lot of your musical interests and gave you the time to be together and more opportunities to play music?
Absolutely. Because, I mean, we didn't do like traditional extracurricular activities like sports or anything like that. So if we would have gone to school, we would have just have been in a building for 8 hours a day. So I think the time efficiency, too, is a lot different. But yeah, no, I mean, homeschooling completely opened up that avenue.
Yeah. What about the church? I mean, has the church been a big part of y'all's life? You have a line in one of your songs that's something about, I'm a songbook in a church pew. Was that a big part of growing up for y'all?
Absolutely. For sure, it was. That's kind of how we started singing together. I think it gave us the confidence to sing in front of people. Ellie played the piano in our church and guitar, and I played the bass in our church growing up. And we write a lot of music inspired by sitting in a church pew and what all that meant to us.
Well, and also just like having Christian themes in your songs too. Like that's a big part of who we are and our identity. One of our worship leaders growing up was really influential in the way I learned how to play guitar. He was like a bluegrass jazz style player. And so whenever I was first learning what the guitar is and like how you interact with it, he was a big influence into my personal style of playing too.
When you think about this church, what it kind of looks like and feels like, I mean, is this a small church? Is it a really big one? Tons of music, full band on a Sunday? Or is it more kind of, you know, country church kind of situation?
It's definitely a small country church. We, maybe had 30, 40 people in there. Our uncle actually led worship for a long time and played guitar. So pretty much everybody up there singing and playing was a member of our family, which was really fun.
Yeah, that is fun. Really, it's just kind of like a big extended family gathering every Sunday, right?
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. Pretty much.
After the break, I'll talk more with the Castellos about their love of Georgia football, where their band name comes from, and their new 7-song EP, A Little Goes a Long Way. Welcome back to Biscuits and Jam from Southern Living. I'm Sid Evans, and today I'm talking with Eleanor, Lily, and Powell Balcom, the sisters behind the Castellos. So, Ellie and Powell, y'all went to the University of Georgia.
Yes, we did.
So I suppose that means that you're pretty serious Bulldog fans. Is that a fair assumption?
Oh my gosh. You have no idea.
Very serious.
Okay, so what does that mean for y'all? What does it look like on, say, a Saturday if it's a game day and you can't be in Athens? What are y'all doing?
I'm a huge football fan, like college and NFL. And so, like, I'm always watching all the games. And that's the thing that kind of is like, oh, about touring too, because you're probably going to miss the 7 o'clock game and you might miss the 3 o'clock game if you're sound checking. So, like, we're in talking with our band because everyone from our band is also from Georgia. We met them in Athens whenever we were in school. And so they're all big Georgia football fans too. So I'm going to be watching and cheering our boys along from wherever we are.
You have to be careful when you schedule your gigs.
Well, yeah. If only we could. I don't think our agencies care about. Yeah, our agent would be like, and I'd be like, yeah, you're right.
So what does a game day look like when y'all are having people over or doing kind of a tailgate party?
I mean, it's just kind of like a big get together, probably not too dissimilar from what every other college kid does. And if it's a home game, it's like, okay, we have to go to the stadium 4 hours early to get in the student section and like do all of that. But if it's an away game, just get the friends, get some snacks from like 12 to 10. It's like we're on the couch watching. Sometimes we'd fight and sometimes we'd have multiple TVs too. Like whenever last year Georgia was playing Vanderbilt at Georgia, but it was the day that Alabama was playing Tennessee and they won, and it was that big, really high scoring game.
Yeah.
And so it was a home game, and so a ton of our friends were going to the game, but me and my friends, we were like, no, we're not going to the game because we need to watch Alabama play Tennessee. So we had a big TV that had Alabama Tennessee on it, then we had a smaller TV that had Georgia Vanderbilt, and then we had another TV that had the Braves game on. So we were like triple mode right there.
Y'all are pretty serious about this.
Yeah, we are.
See, I can't sit on a couch like that.
Oh, I can't.
I sit for about 30 minutes and I'm like, oh, I've got to get up and go do something. Let me go make a Texas caviar dip. Like,
well, Lily, I want to ask about your school. You went to Middle Georgia State and got your pilot's license.
So I actually got my pilot's license not in school. When I was still in high school, I was 17 when I got my license. I graduated when I was 17 too, after getting my license. But I went to Middle Georgia for one semester and did it online.
Oh, okay.
And I realized it was going to be cheaper for me to just get my pilot's license. We'll get all my other ratings, like my instrument ticket and my commercial license, at home with my lovely flight instructor, Dr. Jess Haggerty. Thank you. I'm shouting him out because he's always calling and asking me to give him music updates. But no, I got it at home and I worked at Chick-fil-A to help pay for it. But I was in high school when I did that.
Tell me about that. Why were you drawn to being a pilot? What are some of the highlights of that experience for you?
Well, I watched Top Gun when I was young, and I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And our mom's fraternity brother, Uncle Rob, he was a Thunderbird pilot, and he took us to an air show when we were really young. And there weren't a whole lot of women up there.
Yeah.
I wanted to go to the Air Force Academy and fly airplanes for the Air Force. Probably about the time I was like 14, 15, I begged my parents to let me start working on a pilot's license, and they were like, what? So it took me convincing them. I was probably like 16 and I was like, I don't care. I'll pay for it myself. I'll work my butt off. I was crying to my daddy, being like, please let me fly an airplane. And there was no pilots in our family. So they were like, okay, well, they were very supportive after.
Convince them you're not going to crash.
not going to crash. This past week we were home and it was the first time I'd flown. I looked at the log. It'd been 4 months. December 11th was the last time I'd logged a flight in that plane. I had begged my sisters and parents, like, go fly with me. I don't want to fly by myself. And they were like, no. Yeah, I miss it.
And you expect to keep doing that as long as you can, I guess.
The amount of people in country music who fly, who are actually like pilots, Jamie Johnson, I think he's almost a airline transport pilot. He has his like commercial ticket. He's working on crazy stuff.
He might already have it, actually.
I think Tim McGraw flies. Dierks Bentley, he flies a caravan or something. There's a bunch of people in country music who fly, so I want a plane one day.
As much as y'all are getting around, you might need to be flying.
No doubt.
All right, well, let's talk music, y'all. You've really kind of burst onto the scene lately. You've got a new EP out, which is great, and must be so exciting to have that going out in the world. I want to ask you about the name. I think you say it Castellos, not Castellos.
Yes.
Right?
It's Castellos, yes.
So tell me about the name and how y'all came up with that.
Castello is our great grandmother's maiden name. And we have a lot of like distant Castello cousins, but there's not a lot directly from our family line. And so it was just kind of a way for us to keep that name alive. And also we used to be called the Balcom sisters, which kind of didn't really flow very nice.
Balcom.
Yeah, we didn't foresee the pronunciation issues. Like I think it's also confusing because of like Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
Too. Like that didn't cross my brain until everyone was like, Castellos. And I was like, uh-oh. But it's okay.
Hey, this is a problem.
It's okay. So it's our great-grandmother's maiden name.
Well, it's a great name. Keep putting it out there and, you know, people will catch on eventually.
That's right.
So y'all really got your start on social media. It's sort of a new way to get your music out there and to find an audience even before people in Nashville necessarily know who you are. What did that journey look like for y'all and how did that kind of get started?
It was kind of spontaneous. We weren't doing it as a result to try to angle our way into the music industry. We'd been writing some songs, but the whole thing started with me having a conversation with one of my friends in the deer stand and him being like, hey, I think y'all should post y'all stuff. And we really just posted a bunch of covers too of just songs we liked. Like on the farm, we had some time. We weren't really doing anything.
It was boredom over Christmas break.
Well, and then the next thing you know, we're writing more songs. And then, you know, I'm getting emails from people that I didn't think I'd get emails from asking what's going on. So it wasn't an angle. It was just us taking videos of us playing some of our favorite songs and then also like writing songs too.
Well, it's great that you found an audience so quickly and it seems to have really resonated. I mean, people obviously love what y'all are doing and they're listening and they're sharing it. And it's exciting that you've now been able to turn that into an EP.
Absolutely.
It's called A Little Goes a Long Way, and it's 7 songs. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
There's a song on there I wanted to ask you about. It's called Number 7 Road. And it sounds like you're really talking about home, talking about where you came from. What's the story behind that song?
The whole song is really just a straight narrative about our home and where we grew up. Like everything in there is factual. The first verse paints the picture. And then like the second verse, kind of we wanted to take this spin on the number 7. We kind of were like, how many 7s can we get in there? 7 people sitting at the table, 7 states away.
Well, it's very evocative and very visual. I mean, I feel like you can kind of see the place that you're talking about. And I'm not talking about the video. I mean, just listening to the song and the lyrics, you really kind of feel like you can see it. So it's just, it's really, really nicely done.
Thank you. Oh, number 7 road, won't you take me home? Out there where my roots run deep, strong just like that old oak tree. Oh, you're running in my blood, built in my bones. I'm who I am from where I stand on old number 7.
There's another song on there called Hurricane, which is a fun one. It's all about Louisiana and New Orleans, not New Orleans, New Orleans. So is that a place that y'all have a real connection to?
It's actually not. So that song is a cover and was originally written in the 80s. I know Keith Stegall was one of the writers on it, but it was originally sung by Levon Helm, who was the drummer of the band.
Sure, yeah.
He recorded it after the band broke up. And we're huge fans of the band, the dynamic, the harmonies, the multiple lead singers. Like, we just love everything about what the band does. And so that song we'd been playing since we were 12 and 13. But the song, it's kind of interesting the way it kind of worked, because it wasn't like a hit whenever it came out. It was like moderately popular, I think. But the band of Heathens covered it in like 2011 or 12 or something like that. And so a lot of people in our generation don't know that the Band of Heathens version is actually a cover. But people in my parents' generation are like, oh yeah, like Levon Helm's Hurricane. So it's kind of interesting, because we'd have people be like, oh, that's a great Band of Heathens cover. And we'd be like, actually, that it's not a Band of Heathens cover. It's originally sung by Levon Helm. It's kind of like like Johnny Cash's Hurt. Like, I feel like a lot of people in our generation don't know that it's a Nine Inch Nails song. But it's a song that means a lot to us, just because we've been playing it for so long. We actually don't have any attachment, but we shot the music video there, and that city is just like so cool.
Well, you did a great version of it, and it's another one where you really feel a sense of place, and I can see why you guys were so drawn to that song.
Yeah.
So you also recently, you had some fun news with a song called I Know It'll Never End, which got nominated for a CMT award, I believe. So congrats on that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about that one.
So that was a song that Ellie and I wrote literally in my room right over there on a blow-up mattress, our third night ever living in Nashville. So we didn't have a bed yet. But Pal was at home. It was hay baling season. She was working on the farm baling hay for the winter. But yeah, I got inspired by a poem that my uncle, who's a big historian, sent me. And the poem is, I forgot who said it, but it's in like the 1930s, and it's called Hush Your Mouth, I'm the South. And it's awesome. Like, I get chills every time I hear it, because the amount of lyrics it has.
It might be Paul Harvey.
It's Paul Harvey's Hush Your Mouth, I'm the South. And it's so good. And I got inspired by that because I wanted to write a good Southern romance song for some reason. So I wrote the first verse by myself, and I was like, oh, I will not be able to finish this. And I called Eleanor in, and she was like, we need to write a song about America. I was like, but I want to write a love song. She's like, let's write a love song about America. And I was like, okay, word. So we wrote it in like 45 minutes. It was a quick write for Ellie and I, but it became less about the South and more about our country and a love story that reminds you of your love for your country.
You're a Rocky Mountain Ranger. I'm the coach you have to mend, but I'll keep you warm as you go. This road, it'll never end. Lord, I know.
Well, I know that y'all been on the road a lot lately. What's been a highlight of playing your music out in front of some live audiences?
I love just seeing young girls out in the audience singing our songs. For me, it's so encouraging, because that's important to us, to be good role models. Like, our faith and what we stand for is important. And so, yeah, just seeing young girls out there singing, and we get to meet them afterwards. And that's just so encouraging for us. It's definitely a highlight.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot more of them coming out to see you guys real soon. So
I hope so.
I just have one more question for y'all, and I'll start with you, Eleanor. What does it mean to you to be Southern?
Well, geez, I don't know. We've never not been Southern. So I think for me, it just means being who I am, family. Obviously, the weather's better down here. I think to be Southern, it's just who we are. Can't be any other way.
How about you, pal?
I am huge on like where we come from. I just feel like the South is like home, and especially when we play in the South, I feel like it means family. It means the country, and it's amazing. Like, I'm the one who like wanted to go back and run the family farm. And so to me, being Southern is family and community, and I love it.
Lily, what about you?
Yeah, I would say mine's probably the same. Driving through like South Georgia and like hearing an old man talk with a Southern accent, or, you know, just seeing things that remind you of the South, like going out on the lake when the weather's hot, listening to country music, grandma's cooking. I get really proud when I think about our home and where we come from, where we grew up, and going back home. We're going to be home after this run of shows for like a week and a half, and we are all so excited. We're losing our minds, and we just want to eat grandma's food, and we want to drive through the historic district in New Fall and look at all the beautiful antebellum homes, and it gives you a little chill. You're like, oh, I'm going back home.
Not that Nashville isn't the South at all either, too.
No, it is the South, but it's not small town USA South, but I feel very proud to be Southern.
Well, it's great talking to y'all and Ellie and Powell and Lily, the Castellos. Wish you guys the best of luck on your tour and with your EP and with everything you're doing. And thanks for being on Biscuits and Jam.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening to my conversation with the Castellos. Southern Living is based in Birmingham, Alabama. Be sure to follow Biscuits and Jam on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And we'd love your feedback. If you could rate this podcast and leave us a review, we'd really appreciate it. You can also find us online at southernliving.com/biscuitsandjam. Our theme song is by Sean Watkins of Nickel Creek. Next week, we'll be revisiting an episode from last season with the amazing Lauren Daigle. See you then.